Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Good evening. It's very complicated to pronounce a name that you don't pretty sure, but it's Eric Coeur de Andrade. But don't worry, my professors, after 3 years, they still didn't get it. But it's a pleasure to be here and share God's word with you, brothers and sisters. Would you open your Bible in the book of Romans, chapter 1. When Pastor Steve contacted me, he asked me to share something about evangelism. He knows my passion for evangelism. I was not brought up in a Christian family, and once I found the gospel, or I would say the gospel found me, I fell in love about evangelism, sharing the good news to others. But here we are in Romans chapter 1. It's Paul's letters to the Christians in Rome. Paul haven't been in Rome at this point. And he's writing to encourage his brothers and sisters. And chapter 1 is pretty much about his life. And last time that I preached this passage, someone said to me, well, but that's Paul. Well, there are so many words that Paul speaks. For instance, I learned how to be content. It's so applicable to us. So when it comes to evangelism, I think that Paul here does an amazing favor for us, especially in the light of the main question that I have been made to myself here in the United States. I got here in 2013. How can we create a culture of evangelism? And when I was sending my title for this sermon, you can see in your bulletin, I actually just gave a half. It was supposed to be the Christians, three IMs in a culture of evangelism. That's the main question right now. How can we create a culture of evangelism? Not just programs. And I think Paul helped us here in giving us three IMs. Three levels of commitment for us. And whatever might be your definition of what is a culture, I think that there is a fundamental value for us to understand that for a culture to exist and succeed, there has to be among us a collective conscience and effort to strive for the Great Commission. Cannot just be the pastor. Cannot just be the evangelist, but it has to be a collective conscience and effort. And I hope we can all really enjoy what Paul has to say for us this evening, these three Christian IMs. So Romans chapter 1, verse 14, Paul says, I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for setting this day for us, a rest day, a Sabbath for us to enjoy, to be under the preaching of your word. But we also acknowledge our limitation, and we pray that your Holy Spirit may help us to understand your word and also in applying it into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 to 16 is one of the most provoking and challenging statements of Paul when it comes to evangelism. And right here, as I said, Paul laid for us three levels of commitment. I'm under obligation, I'm eager, and I'm not ashamed. So those are my my 3 points for tonight. And I want to spend more time here. The first one, I am under obligation. And see that Paul is saying here, not that I was, not that I will be, but I am. I am constantly under obligation to share the good news of Jesus Christ as the Lord provides for us opportunity. You know what it means to be under obligation. You are a person under obligation. Even religiously speaking, you are. You come to church, you feel yourself obligated to keep the Lord's day. You feel yourself obligated to baptize your kids. You feel yourself to participate in the Lord's Supper, and the list just goes on and on. You know what it means to be obligated. But why not about evangelism? Why we don't feel obligated to share the gospel when the Lord provides us opportunity? Among many reasons, I think that perhaps we do not understand the seriousness and the nature of this obligation. The Greek word that Paul used here for obligation describes a person who is financially under a moral obligation. It's not just an obligation, it's a moral obligation. The Greek word here shows that. That's why the King James Version says, I am debtor. I am debtor. And you know what is to be a debtor. If you're a college student, or if you was, you know. Now, let me ask you, how do you deal with your debt? Just think about the letter that you monthly get from your bank. See if your letter that you're getting monthly from your bank sounds like this. Dear customer, the bank is wondering if you are willing to pay your debt, if you are feeling well. And if you are not, don't be ashamed. We understand. You don't need to worry. Is that the kind of letter we are getting monthly? No. Of course not. We know that a debt is a firm contract that cannot be escaped unless it is either paid or forgiven. That's why our debt troubles us, keeps us up at night, motivates us to action, to do something. So that, you know, there is a story you might be familiar from 2 Kings chapter 7. The Syrians had besieged Israel, and because of that, Israel was starving, about to die, no food. And the Bible says that there was these four lepers at the door of the city. And they were talking among themselves saying, listen, we are going to die anyway. If we stay here, we are going to die. And if you go to the Syrian camp, maybe they let us leave and then, sweet, we're going to be alive. But we cannot stay here. Let's do something. And they did. They went to the Syrian camp. And when he got there, the Syrian had fled. That was no one there. Why? Because the Lord had sent a huge noise. Sounds like a huge army coming against the Syrians. And they freaked out and they left. And they left all their belongings behind. And when these four lepers got inside of the Syrians' camp, they found everything there. Everything. And they were so amazed, happy, getting all the food, all the gold, silver, enjoying everything. But then something happened. 2 Kings verse 7, chapter 7, verse 9 says, then they said to each other, what we are doing is not right. They felt, they were compelled by this moral obligation. It's not right. And they keep saying, this is a day of good news. And we are keeping it to ourselves. They were compelled by God's goodness and mercy and provision. So this type of obligation that Paul is talking about, it's not a legalist obligation, but it's an obligation that flows out of the goodness and mercy and provision of God to us. So they went back to the camp, to Israel's camp, and said, "Hey guys, there is a glorious thing going on. The Assyrians just fled. Get out of here, go there. It's glorious. You have to see it." And that story really illustrates what evangelism is all about. It's about God sending sinners, broken people, lepers, to reach out other lepers just like us. Broken people. So, as I see here what Paul is saying, this obligation flowing out of gratitude, there is another passage in Romans here, 15, that Paul used the same Greek word. Romans 15, Paul was giving a report about the Christians, to the Christians in Rome, about the Gentile church. They were pleased to send money to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. So here's Paul. "Hey, listen what this Gentile church is doing for our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. But then in verse 27, Paul says, "For they were pleased," the Gentiles were pleased to do it, to send money to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. "And indeed, they owe it to them." The King James says, "It has pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are." Well, wait a minute. They're debtors? Instead of Paul clapping his hands to the Gentiles for their generosity, Paul is saying, wait a minute, they're debtors to the Jewish people. And you know why? Verse 27, "For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought," the same Greek word, "they are in debt. They are in debt also to be of service to them," to the Jewish people, "in material blessings." Wait a minute. How in the world that we are now in debt for a free gift? If salvation is a free gift, why are we debtors now? And to whom? Paul started this letter by saying, Paul, a servant of Christ. First of all, Paul saw himself as debtor to Christ. But not only to Christ, but to all the Gentiles, all those who are lost. But again, isn't salvation a free gift? Why are we debtor right now? You know, one of the first songs that I learned as a Reformed Christian, I was a Pentecostal guy before, one of the first songs that I learned was, "Jesus paid it all, and all to him I own." We have this idea of grace, free, yeah. But you own to Jesus. You own your life. And we can see this sense of obligation in Jesus' parables. The talents, the vine and the branch, the barren fig tree. They all emphasize that we are supposed to be fruitful in God's kingdom. There is a poem that says, I don't know who is the author, but it's wonderful. It says, "I would not work for my soul to save, for that my Lord has done. But I would work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus because he first loved me." This obligation here, brothers and sisters, flows out of a heart full of understand that we do not deserve salvation. Now, let me ask you, do you feel yourself obligated to your family? Do you feel yourself obligated to your neighbors, your friends in your workplace, your city, those who are lost? Do you really realize about the bad news? Do you believe in the bad news as you believe in the good news? The bad news is that no one is going to heaven without Jesus. I just came from a mission trip in Chattanooga. And while the youth was doing the work project, I was trying to find a way to engage with the community. It was a black community. And I saw those guys drinking, smoking in a porch. And I emptied my bottle, water, I drank everything just to have an excuse to approach Eric Styles. I went there and said, hey, do you have some water? Yeah, I'm going to get some for you. He got a bottle of water for me. And I said, do you have some chair? I want to sit here with you guys. It's so warm here. I need some shade here. Oh, yeah, I got a chair. So I stayed there. And then I said, well, I have a question for you guys. You know, in Brazil, black people generally are raised in a witchcraft family. Like my dad was a black guy. We were raised in a witchcraft, voodoo family. Black people in Brazil, they didn't have opportunity to be raised in a Christian family. But I guess you guys had the opportunity. Now, let me ask you. Why is your generation is not in the church? And they were like, what the heck are you talking about? Yeah. Why are you not in the church? Hey, Eric, I pray. You know, every night I pray. I ask God's forgiveness. I said, I don't care, really. If you're not falling, walk in Christ, why does it matter if you're praying at night? And the second day I was there again. they said to me, I'm not going to work. You just came here to sit around. I said, I'm a manager. I'm a supervisor. Don't worry. I'm here for you. After 1 hour and a half talk to them, one of those guys said to me, Eric, why are you here? And I said, well, we need to work, you know, clean here, the things. No, why are you here in this porch? Again, yesterday you came, you were so comfortable, you were not black, you're not American, you know, you don't care if this place is a danger place or not, you're just here challenging, why are you doing this? And I said, well, you know why? Because I do believe people go to hell without Jesus. There is no other way. And the second thing, I do that because I learned from my master, Jesus. He was never intimidated by anyone. And the third, because if I reach your soul, Dave, I can see that you are an influential man here in this community. God is going to use you to reach many other souls to him. So there is the bad news, and we need to believe. And to move, take action. I was reading Steve Lawson. And why? Why we are obligated to share the good news? Steve Lawson says, I hope everybody realizes that in the gospel there is this sacred stewardship that has been entrusted to each and every one who has received it freely. And that when you became a believer, you received your salvation as a deposit into your account. And you are now not only recipient of a free gift of salvation, but also charged to give each to others, to share the gospel to others, to talk about Jesus, not merely your lifestyle. I have heard before, no, what about lifestyle evangelism? You know what lifestyle evangelism does? Just create a bridge. And I got so mad sometimes with this phrase, we are creating bridge. I remember last year I took the youth group, not me, but the youth leaders, we went to Pittsburgh. And the organization was there for 12 years, working with kids. When I got there, I said, what type of work are we going to do here? Oh, we're going to play with the kids. We are building relationship with the kids. And I said, what about that bunch of people there around here? No, we don't go there. We don't go there. We stay here, the kids. We want to bridge relationship. How many years are you here building relationship? 12 years. And I said, how long are you going to take for you to cross the bridge? Come on. I spoke with the leaders. I said, listen, I'm going to take 5x5 and we're going to knock people's doors. These kids need to engage in evangelism, in the real verbalizing gospel evangelism, not playing with kids around. So that is what evangelism looks like as a principle. Yeah, we move because we feel obligated. But it's one thing to feel obligated to pay your debt. Another thing is to be excited to pay. So that's why Paul moves now to the second point, verse 15. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Now, it's interesting here, the word, again, the Greek word that Paul uses here carries at least two meanings. And the first one is a strong feeling of being passionate, a desire, eagerness, willingness. And the second one is a strong sense of readiness. You are ready. You have the feeling, but you are ready to do so. So let's talk about the first one. The NIV said, I'm so eager to preach the gospel. And again, we all know what to be excited about something looks like. Even the most introverted person. Sometimes people come to me and say, Eric, I'm a very introverted person. Well, I guess you are excited about something in your life. And every time that you are excited about this thing, you share. Think about the Apple and Android debate. Android is better. Oh, no, Apple is better. Even the introvert persons, they fight against each other. I mean, think about kids. How many times I saw my son, they got a new toy. They are more excited about showing to his friends than to play with the toy. Everybody is excited about something. It's a worship mechanism that God left with us. Now, think about when you are falling in love for someone. When you're about to get married. When you are expecting a baby. Do you keep the information for yourself? Of course not. You run. Even our wives, when they find a new shampoo that's good for their hair, they go and tell everybody. There's no problem about sharing, nothing. We do. Now, when it comes to evangelism, we think that it's something different. We need to be something different. No, we don't need to be something different. We just need to be ourselves. It's just ourselves. And be excited about that. And why should we be excited? Because that's the good news. And how good is the good news for you? That's the question. And it seems that we are losing more and more the goodness of the gospel. I didn't grow in a Christian family. People can look at me and say, yeah, that's because you were not born in a Christian family. You might have met Jesus in an extraordinary way. But that's not the point. The gospel in itself is good enough to motivate us to share the good news. You don't need to have a conversion like mine. You just need to reflect in the goodness of the gospel and what the gospel wants to do in your life and through your life. One day I was talking to Pastor Dale. I'm also a leader, a youth leader at the church. And I said, Pastor Dale, I think that perhaps one of the reasons why we are losing our youth and the transition when they move from the youth group to college and then college to church, to be a member of the church. I think the reason why we are losing them is because they, although they are experiencing Christ and his benefits, they are not experiencing Christ and his mission. They are only exercising their faith in Christ, in his benefits. But what about the mission? It's an amazing thing to experience. Share the gospel with someone and see the person come to Christ through a sinner like you and me. That's going to edify your faith amazingly. So that's why I think we should provide opportunities, not just for our kids, but for everybody. We did a picnic last year, an evangelism picnic, and I made sure to take my daughter and my son to go with me. They didn't want to go with dad, but they went with another group. And my daughter, 13, she came running afterwards saying, Dad, I shared the gospel. And not only that, I prayed for the person. Wonderful, Milena. That's what Dad wants for you. You need to experience that. Otherwise, just a half of the gospel. Just a half. So, and then there is a sense of readiness. King James says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And here's the thing about being ready. Sometimes we are ready only for the things that we want to be ready. And you know about that. I know. I remember when I was going to my first job interview, I want to be ready. I didn't want to get there and just, yeah, whatever. Think about your wedding. Were you walking around? Yeah, it is what it is. Let's just get there. Of course not. And it is the same for the gospel. It is the same for evangelism. We have to be equipping ourselves, training ourselves, not only for the things that you like to do. That's so easy. But for the things that you don't like. Mission trip, it's easy. I keep saying to the youth at Harvest, it's easy. You go there 1 week, it's over. The challenge is in your school. The challenge is in your neighborhood. That's the challenge. And you better be ready. So, how your readiness look like? I remember Tatiane and Elias, when I was a youth pastor in Brazil, they were, this is a couple from Brazil, and Tatiane became a believer, and she came to church, embraced the gospel, but her husband was not too happy, was a drunk, angry man, once in a while beating her, you know, the kids, addicted to drugs and alcohol. And somehow one day, Tatiana brought Elias to the church. I don't remember if it was Monday, Tuesday, but here I have this angry, crazy guy in my front, and without t-shirt, shoes, smelling alcohol all over. And I look at him and say, Elias, let me tell you about the gospel and what the gospel can do for you. And at the end, he looked at me and he said, Eric, what do you want me to do? And I said, well, first of all, I want you to surrender to Jesus. And second, I want you to go with me. I want to take you to an addiction rehab center right now. It was, I think, 8 o'clock at night. And he has his job. And he starts laughing. Are you kidding me? How long is that? You're going to be there for 6 months. I have family. Don't worry. We're going to take care of your family. And the pastor looked at me, what? Yeah, we will. Right now. And he looked and said, Eric, I don't have shirt. I don't have shoes. I'm going to sort out your problem now. I took my shoes. I took my chair. You are going now. And praise God that he did. After a few months, I left the church. I went back to the mission field. And I heard that Elias stayed 6 months. And he came transformed. Was a Christian rehab. And the first thing that he wants when he got back was to marry his wife. They were not married. And after a couple of days, the church called me, hey, Eric, Elias and Tatiane want you here for the wedding. Okay, I'll do my best. And Viviane and I, we traveled to São Paulo City. We got there. And as the pastor was doing the ceremony, Elias got the microphone. Eric, come here. I didn't know about the story. I had completely forgot about it. And he started to tell, hey, remember that day you took your shoes. You gave yourself, not just a message. Brothers and sisters, evangelism goes beyond a message. It's about giving yourself. It's about imitating Christ. The word became flesh. So that's why what seems to be an obligation becomes a joyful obligation when we engage in evangelism. And finally, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. And I see just two things here for us to conclude. The first one I want to highlight here, Paul's statement here is that the gospel produced a counterculture behavior whose values and norms differ substantially from our tendentious behavior as Christian when it comes to the relationship between American culture and evangelism. The gospel produced a counterculture different from the American culture. I'm a Brazilian guy. And here you have this culture of shame. You have this culture that you are not supposed to enforce your religion on people. You're gonna offend people. Brothers and sisters, the gospel has sufficient power to offend people in itself. It doesn't need us. It does the work rightly. It is the gospel. It's gonna offend us. In any way, we don't need to offend people. But here in American culture, it's like you don't go to door. We have a private culture. You don't speak about, wait a minute. We are holding our culture, undermining the Great Commission. That's why people look at me doing evangelism, they say, this guy's crazy. No, I agree with D.A. Carson, the theologian, the New Testament theologian. The gospel does not respect any culture because all of them are falling culture. So think about what Paul is saying here. I'm not ashamed. Paul, you'd be the guy to be ashamed. How many times he was beaten, put to shame, but still he's saying, I'm not ashamed. Paul, who says, I am ambassador. Remember when he went to Rome? He went in chains as a prisoner, but still an ambassador of Christ. Never ashamed, never. So let's think about the gospel in our culture. Let's not be intimidated. There is a call for us. And the second thing I see here in Paul's statement is that it reminds us that our unashamed view of the gospel has to be rooted, grounded in the efficacy of the gospel. The reason why I'm not ashamed is because I believe the gospel changes people. It's so powerful. How can I be ashamed of such a powerful thing? I'll never be ashamed. Why? Why am I going to be ashamed? It is the power of God for salvation. There is only one reason we could be ashamed. If we don't understand salvation, if we are not happy with our salvation. Are you happy with your salvation? Are you glad that you are saved? Perhaps that's the problem. Perhaps we could do what David in Psalms 51 said. Restore the joy of your salvation. Give me a willing spirit, and I will tell sinners, and they will return to you. Perhaps that's the problem. Perhaps that we are not really enjoying our salvation. So brothers and sisters, and as I'm speaking here about culture, I hope you don't get me wrong. It's not about program. It's about staying who you are. If you're a mother with 5 kids, the Lord will give you opportunity. Not just that he will give for me, but he will put women in your life, broken one, that needs the gospel. If you're a single person, the Lord will give you opportunity to engage in evangelism. The principle is the same for all of us. But how are we going to practice? That's going to take different forms. But let's embrace the gospel in its fullness. Not only what the gospel can do for us, but what the gospel can do through us. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the gospel. We ourselves would be lost. Even if we had born a Christian family, we would be lost if the gospel had not been operating in our heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for this blessing, oh Lord, this glorious blessing. But help us not to keep it to ourselves only. That's not right. We are not doing right, oh Lord. May your Holy Spirit, oh Lord, apply these words into our hearts. Make us, cause us to be willing, eager, passionate about the gospel. Help us not to be ashamed, even a culture that demands us to be silent. Give us a heart willing to obey you instead of our culture, O Lord, because you are worthy of all worship, honor, and glory and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.